is teaching of His Word. Thank You that the Holy Spirit is in us as Your children to lead us into worship and praise and thanksgiving and adoration. Thank You that we have voices to sing and hearts to fill and to be lifted up in the process of it all. I pray this morning that You give us spiritual ears to hear Your spiritual word, spiritual eyes to see this spiritual word, and open our hearts to receive this spiritual word as we live in the midst of outrageous violence today. Ecclesiastes, what a message. Hits the nail on the head, doesn't it, Lord? When you take the God factor out of everything, everything is miserable and meaningless and useless. But oh, when God is put in everything, then everything is useful and meaningful and encouraging and beautiful and uplifting. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the message in Ecclesiastes. Please give us the understanding we need. We ask this in Jesus' name so we will learn more about Him, for it is all about Him. In His name we pray, amen and amen. Well, if you have your printout, take it and turn, if you will, to page 1. Page 1, which is facing you at the moment if you have this printout. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. You'll notice the title is Futility in Relationships. Well, let's begin with verses 1 through 3. Then I, underline the word I is a reference to Solomon. Solomon, the most powerful, potent king in the known world. Then I looked again and considered all the acts of outrageous violence that were being practiced on this planet, planet Earth. And behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, the victims, and they had no one to comfort them. Sound familiar? You're watching this on TV much today. And on the side of their oppressors was power, demonic power. But they had no one to comfort them. So I congratulated and thought more fortunate are those who are already dead than the living who are still living. But better off in either of them is the one who has not yet been born, who has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Number one, was the misuse of power and oppression confined only to Solomon's time? How would you answer that one? No. Cruelty and coercion are realities today. Let's look at them. Political corruption. We're seeing that on every side. And I'm going to tell you, the Republicans are going to have to step up and confront this face to face, or we will continually be run over time after time during a time of voting. You see, I'll say this, and I don't apologize for it. The Democrats in Washington are trying to break the will of America. They're trying to take away our God-given rights. And the greatest one is to have the Word of God and to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God in the house of the living God and pray in public anytime we are ready to pray and anytime we need to pray. Then there's sex trafficking, domestic violence, child abuse, and the list goes on. Is evil everywhere? The answer is yes. Question number one, what does the existence of these evil realities lead to? The answer is skepticism. Skepticism. What is skepticism? It is a doubting or questioning attitude. When you leave God out of everything, you don't know what absolute truth is, and you don't know what absolute reality is. And you don't understand mankind, you don't understand yourself. Skepticism, a doubting or questioning attitude. And it comes because we have left God out. What are the temptations of skepticism? Being tempted to hate. Being tempted to hate. And who is going to tempt you to hate? It's not going to be God. It is going to be the devil himself and the organized demons that he has under him. Being tempted to hate and despise. And despise life. Verses 4 through 6. He says, I have seen that every effort in labor and every skill in work comes from man's rivalry with his neighbor. This too is vanity, that is futility or false pride, and the word jealousy even creeps in, and chasing after the wind. The fool folds his hands together and consumes his own flesh, destroying himself by idleness and apathy, which is an I don't care attitude. One handful of rest and patience is better than two fists full of labor and chasing after the wind. Now, I have something you don't have. We're going to sum up what we just read. Look back again at verses 4 through 6 and listen to what is about to be said. Here's Solomon. Says the only reason these people perfected their skills and worked hard at their jobs was to compete with others to make more money than their neighbors. The purpose of their work was not to produce beautiful or useful products or to help people, but to stay ahead of the competition and survive in the battle for food. Notice there's another phrase of importance. It says, one handful of rest and patience is better than two fists full of labor and chasing after the wind. Well, here are people whose lives are balanced. Here are people whose lives are balanced. They're productive in work and also careful to take time for quietness. They don't run in the rat race, but neither do they try to run away from normal responsibilities of life. And here's the point of it all. God wants us to labor in the right spirit and for the right reasons. Blessed are the balanced. Those that are balanced will help balance the lives of other people. Why are these people in balance? It is because they have God in their lives. They have come to know from the truth of God's word, absolute truth and absolute reality. So they know how to have the right attitude and have the right perspective when it comes to the life that they are living here at the moment. All right, let's go back to page 1 at the bottom of the page. Now here Solomon's own skepticism continues. Solomon in his skepticism says, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Does this mean you should just sit back and do nothing with your life? The answer is no. This means that if you refuse to work, you'll go hungry. It's better to earn only what you need and get rest than to be a miserable workaholic keeping up with the Joneses. Well, let's turn to page 2 and see what else is before us. Top of page 2, you have verses 8 through 12. Let's read. Without a companion and with no end to struggles, we start to ask, who am I struggling for? In other words, who am I working for? What am I working for? You see, it's better not to be alone. It's best to have someone walking beside you who cares for you. Two are better than one for many reasons. If one falls, the other can lift him up. If two lie down together, they can keep warm. If someone attacks, two can resist. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. But look at what it says right below this. But pity the one who is alone, who is leaving God out of his life, who says, I don't need Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He has no one to pick him up, no one to keep him warm, and no one to help him in time of need. Point one, to experience fellowship and encouragement in an oppressive and unfair world, we must become members of Christ's spiritual family. I hate to tell you this, but in all of this outrageous violence that we find ourselves in, more than likely God's going to leave you and he's going to leave me to live in the midst of all of it. Often we pray, God, remove me, please, to some area that is safe and secure. But he says, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave you to live in all the midst of this outrageous behavior that is taking place. Well, what's the answer? If I'm going to have to live in the midst of this stuff, then what is the answer? We'll reread the answer. Point one, to experience fellowship and encouragement in an oppressive, violent atmosphere, an unfair world, we must become members of Christ's spiritual family. So how do you become members of Christ's spiritual family? It is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You should know this. It is by believing that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full. You owe nothing. Christ has paid it all. The scripture goes so far as to say we are saved by grace. Grace means it's something that you cannot do yourself. You cannot earn it. It is Jesus Christ who died for you. It is Jesus Christ who gives you saving grace. It is Jesus Christ who gives you eternal, everlasting life. Question, is there great injustice in the world? How would you answer that? The answer is yes. But there is two things that are very strong and very powerful in the life of every church. At least it should be. But there is comfort and mutual assistance in supportive relationships. Well, when you're standing in the midst of an unfair world, what do you need? Number one, you need comfort. Comfort that is going to come from people who will pray for you. Comfort that comes from people who will open up the Word of the living God, and they're not afraid to read the Word of God, and they're not afraid to ask God to give them wisdom. And wisdom, remember, is using the spiritual truth you find in the Word of God. And when you do that, then you're going to have clarity in every situation you find yourself in. All right? Now, let's go down to point two. Spiritual leaders are to develop two things very important. Develop deep and enduring relationships in the church. I'm going to reread that. Spiritual leaders are to develop deep and enduring relationships in the church during a time like we've been reading about. Look at the word develop. It means to unfold gradually. It's not going to happen overnight. Here is a Christian who has stepped out of all of this oppression and all of this violence. He has found out a truth that there is security and there is comfort in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's going to take more than one visit. It's going to take more than two visits. It's going to take more than coming every now and then. My friends, if you come every now and then, you're going to find yourself drifting away from the truth of God's Word. You're going to find yourself drifting away from the security and the comfort and the uplifting you find in the house or the family of the living God. It is also a lifelong process of bringing something into existence. Well, here's a question. How deep and enduring are the relationships in this church? How deep and enduring are the relationships in this church? What is the most important relationship in this church? It is having a relationship with the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? If you have a proper relationship with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, you're going to have a proper, deep, enduring relationship with those around you in the house of the living God. So if Hainesville Baptist Church is going to be known by anything, it's going to be known by this. Go to that church. They run deep. They know what endurance is during a time of outrageous violence. All right, let's continue. Here's another question. Who wrote more about relationships than any other New Testament writer? It was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. In his letter to Romans, he penned this concept 8 times as he developed the importance of having close, intimate relationships within the body of Christ. Rita and Stanley McCurley have been coming to church here for a little while. They've been in Colorado for about 6 weeks. Somebody had to go up there and minister, no doubt. But you know, they came back and he got COVID. He's at home and he's been at home. He was in the hospital and they thought COVID might take his life. We got a call from his daughter. She said, "Would you come to Mom and Dad's house?" Well, I looked at Janae and I said, I'm not eager to jump into that one. But I want you to listen. She said to Janae and I, "You don't have to come in. He'll sit by the window. And he'll open up the window and through the screen, I want you to pray for my mother and my father. He is doing much better. He's up and walking around and he's not griping at all." But I looked at Janae and I said, "Why not? Why not stand outside the house and talk to him for a little while? And then we'll join hands and we'll pray through the screen." And it reminded me of the message this morning. During a time that you find yourself in need, you don't have to come to the house of the living God. We can come to you. We can put our hands on that screen if we wish, and we can pray in the name of Jesus and the authority of the living God. Because prayer will go through that screen. It'll go through that brick wall. Prayer is going to get to him. And he has had many prayers. How important is the family of God? How important is deep and enduring relationships? So deep and so enduring and so full of love that you will go anywhere you need to and pray for your brother and sister in Jesus Christ to give them an uplifting through the Word of Almighty God that is spoken and believed and received. I'm telling you, what the Democrats are going to do down the road is going to blow your ever-loving mind. They want to open up prisons as I speak to you. Excuse me, but it's just coming out. They want to say, "Unlock the prisons." And you already know about defund the police. Open up the borders and let everybody come across. I don't know what God is up to. I know God has a reason for it all. And I'm asking, does God have a reason for allowing us to have a president that is so empty-headed and handed he knows nothing? Is it to bring America back to God again? What's the Trump thing? Make America great again. That's not it. It's make Jesus Christ known again. You can come to the house of God and you can read this and read that and sing this and sing that and clap your hands. What gives us the strength we need and the deep rootedness in the spirituality of Almighty God is knowing who Jesus Christ is and what He can do. We've got to bring that back to the house of the living God. I don't have to be told, Terry, nice message this morning. I don't care. The best thing I can hear from you is, I learned more about Jesus this morning. And I feel it. I feel the encouragement. More knowledge, more wisdom, more clarity about your message, about Jesus Christ. How known is He in this church? That's the important question. I'm not going to give you 8 verses, but 3. Romans 12:5. We who are many are one body in Christ. The Pope is not the head of the church. He's not the head of the Christian body. Jesus Christ is the non-negotiable head of the body of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And nowhere down the road do we need to hear the Pope and respond to him to say, let's all unite. You can't all unite. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but what? Through the Son, Jesus Christ. You can talk about the Father all you want, but do you have a relationship with the Son? If you don't have a relationship with the Son, then the Father's not hearing you. Because you can't even come into His presence unless you come by way of the cross, by way of the blood of Jesus Christ, by way of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible speaks of. My friends, lift up your head, for redemption draweth nigh. I believe firmly that Jesus Christ is allowing this rotten state to come, and it probably will continue getting the people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. There are no Lone Rangers in Haynesville Baptist Church. There are no Lone Rangers in the Christian life. Because you are part of the body, you matter. You matter. But because you're only one part, it's not all about you. Page 3. Romans 12:10. We are to show family affection. Did you get that? Somebody says, tell me about Haynesville Baptist Church. I said, we're a family. And if we're not a family, we have a problem. Because Jesus says, I want you to be a family. I want something in there that's deep and enduring. Now listen to this. We are to show family affection. Show, not just talk about it. To one another with brotherly love. Look at the word love. What is this? I bet you can guess it. Agape? Let me ask you something. Agape love comes from who? God. And God is love. It's not love is God. God is love. Now listen to this. The love of God that is perfect and without condition. This is how we're to love one another. This is how we're to show family affection in the house of the living God. Listen, the love of God that is perfect. I looked at that and I said, it's got to be the love of God because human love is not perfect. So the love of God, how do I get perfect love of God? By receiving Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. This love is bestowed upon you. It is on the inside of you. Can we love each other with the love of God? What's your answer? The answer according to the Bible is yes, yes, yes. You ain't got there yet. There's more. We can love one another how? Deeply. Once we recognize that we don't have to like someone to love them well. How lovable were you when Jesus came to you and offered you salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Love is associated with emotion, but it starts with a decision. Terry, I just don't feel like I can love that nut or that idiot over here or that Democrat over here. I understand. God's still working on me there. Love is associated with emotion, but it starts with a decision. Did you know what we learned Wednesday night? Love is a command. Some of you say, when I get that mushy, gooey feeling, then I think I may start loving them in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Jesus said what? Love your neighbor. Love one another. You know what? Don't wait on emotion. Don't wait on feeling. That is a command. Love is a command. It is a decision to say yes to Jesus. I will love them with the perfect love of God without condition. Love is associated with emotion, but it starts with a decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of others. Do you see what the church is all about? You can do everything else you want. What does it say in Corinthians? But without love, everything else is nothing. But brother, you're going to have to know Him and learn Him if you're going to love like Him. You want to know what's going to draw people? It's not high-paid revivalists. It's just the people of God living this out. Seek the well-being of others. That decision is founded in the spiritual truth, that's the Word of God, that fellow believers are our brothers and sisters. Just like the small gauge on a boiler indicates how full the vessel is. Our love for one another indicates how full our hearts are with the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 13:8. We are not to owe anyone anything except to what? Love one another. So what is the only thing we are allowed to owe? Divine love. Divine love. Now here's some things you may not agree with, but you'll get over it. Number one, we are to love one another. We are to what? Owe one thing, divine love. And notice one another. One another. Will you underline those two words or circle one another? It's amazing what they mean. It means one of a different kind. Someone very different. Now let me reread it. We are not to owe anyone anything except to love one another. And it may be one of a different kind. It may be someone very different. Number three, different in beliefs and theology. Number four, you don't have this, I do. Different in personality. Well, Lord, I can't stand the personality. He said, do you think yours is sweet? Then there's a different in politics. Different in mannerisms. Different in taste, race, and values, and history. In other words, with love, difference should make no difference. In love, difference should make no difference. This is a perpetual debt that can never be zeroed out. Here's love. This is the love produced, because you can't produce it, in the heart of the yielded believer. Notice the word yielded, that is conditional there. believer by the Holy Spirit. He's in you if you're a Christian. A love, self-sacrificial in its essence, giving of itself for the benefit of the person loved. And here's the point. This debt increases the more it is paid, because the practice of love makes the principle of love deeper and more active. So if there's one thing you might want to check on your list, is how deep and how enduring is your love. Because if it's not there, then you really don't love Jesus Christ like you might think. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for your love. Satan doesn't know what to do with it. He can't stand the love of God. It melts him down. It's a shield for the believer. He shields his mind with it. He shields his heart with it. He shields the whole Christian life with it. And you can't penetrate it, can you? Father, if there's one thing, and I know I've read it so many times in the years, this church and every church, every body of Christians, yes, there are questions to answer, but there's one, and that is, how well do I know the Savior? How well do I know Jesus Christ? How deep and enduring is my relationship with my brother and sister in Christ? Father, I pray, if there's anything I really want to ask God till the day I die, is to make me more aware of Jesus Christ and who He is in my life. Because if I can get that down, everything else will fall in line. Not easy, but it'll fall. Lord, thank you for loving us. Your love is awesome. And that's what we need in this world of such violence. Outrageous violence. That we sometimes wonder, how long is it going to last? How much of it can I stand? Are you going to leave me here in the midst of all of this? Most of the time, the answer is yes. Because I'll be there with you, he says. I'll hold your hand. And you'll be made more aware of who Jesus is. And when it's time to walk out, you'll be a better Christian for it. Well, Lord, help us to be a better Christian. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Jesus.